Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. On the Double with the Double S Express.
Hey man, who's that cat coming down the street?
I don't know, but it sounds to me like that whistling man with the bone.
Sure having himself a ball.
Georgia Brown, of course, the theme song for the world-famous Harlem Globetrotters. Good evening, everybody. Sean Wally, all the way back in frigid Albany, New York. Sean Boyd, for a few more hours in the 916.
Man, and yes, a few hours left in the 916, and we'll be joining you in Albany, New York. Man, I hope it is not super cold. I heard that the temperature should be about 45 to 50 degrees. But, of course, on the Eastern Seaboard, things can change just like that. How are things going, Mr. Wally?
Well, man, after a very, very early morning and multiple flights, we made it to Albany, New York, and it has been snowing since about 7 p.m. local time, so roughly 3 hours of snow. There's got to be a couple inches out there, and it is still falling. So we'll see if there's any snow left to welcome you here tomorrow. But really, we need to answer the question. We haven't had a show in a while, Sean, so why are you coming out to Albany, New York?
Well, man, we have the intro that our engineer Don Newsom played, Sweet Georgia Brown, which is the anthem for the Harlem Globetrotters. And, man, it has been a while, Sean Wally, and yours truly is now joined you as a member of the Harlem Globetrotters. Very excited to be one of the latest PA announcers for, and you forgot to mention this one, Sean, the original world-famous Harlem Globetrotters. And so, man, I'm excited to get things started, going through a little bit of training with you and our buddy Jared Lewis. And so it's going to be exciting. I'm looking forward to getting my tour kicked off, but spending some time with you guys back east. And so I look forward to it.
Well, take us through that whole process. How did everything work out for you to get a shot at this position and the audition process and what that was like for you?
Well, you know, our listeners know what our vision and our dream is, and that's to be in broadcasting and, of course, sports media around. And so when the opportunity came about to be a PA announcer, you know, I talked with you about what do you think about this, Sean? Is this something that I should move towards? And you said, man, go ahead and pull the trigger. Sent my resume in, sent the you know, one of my demos in. And the next thing you know, the Harlem Globetrotters are in Sacramento, and I come out with the family to enjoy Harlem Globetrotters basketball and fun for the family all around. And of course, my daughter had lots of fun, son had fun, my wife had fun, and it was a great time. And so I got a chance to talk with the director of marketing. He explained to me that he received my information and wanted me to come in for an audition the next day. Can you believe that, Sean Wally? And so, you know, 10:30 in the morning, I come loaded for bear because, you know, this is it, man. And, you know, this is my chance to do what I want to do. And, you know, and one of my visions and one of my dreams. And as I drove to Sleep Train Arena, you know, the sound, the music is in my head from Eminem, man, you only get one shot. And I'm amped up to do it. And so when I get onto the microphone into the arena, I do three reads, Sean. I do three quick reads, and this is the funniest thing. No lie, the director comes up after my third read and slaps the table and says, I've heard enough, and walked away. And I looked at the PA announcer, and I said, what in the world just happened? And he looked back at me and said, hey, man, I don't know. I've never seen this before. And so finally, the director comes back over, calls me over, sits down with me, and he says, hey, you know, come walk with me. I want to talk to you real quick. And I'm thinking, man, Sean, I'm going to the principal's office. What in the world is going on? I'm in trouble. So I sit down with him, and he says, he asked me two questions, which were really off-the-wall questions. He said, do you like to travel? And I thought, well, yeah, I like to travel. I mean, this is one of the reasons why, you know, I'm auditioning for this position. And then he said, do you have your passport? And I looked at him, and I said, you know, can I ask you a question? Why are you asking me this? And he said, I'm sorry. He said, you know, first of all, I just want to tell you that you did an outstanding job in this audition, and it was incredible. And I said, well, thank you very much. So my next question is how would you like to be a Harlem Globetrotter? And from there, you know, it's just, you know, I'm on a, I can't even begin to tell you right now the euphoria that's going on just in this process. You know, the 24 hours that, you know, partook into that, you know, I'm excited. I'm very excited to be with such a great organization, Sean. And I know what, you know, how you feel as far as being a part of this organization. And I look forward to it, man. I look forward to spending some time with you. I'm looking forward to the growth. I'm looking forward to just being the best announcer that the Harlem Globetrotters could offer. And that's all I could tell you, man.
Well, it's going to be great to have you here for, I believe, 13 days before you embark on your own tour, and you're going to learn from everybody on our crew, and we're going to welcome you in for sure with open arms and try to teach you everything we know what to do, and of course, hopefully none of what not to do.
Well, you know,
hopefully you don't get any of that.
Well, you know, what I'm hoping is I'm hoping that I packed right, man. You know, I'm going through with a couple of different wardrobes. Of course, being back east, there's a lot of snow. And, you know, then when my tour starts, it's going to be in Puerto Rico, man. And so, you know, how do you pack for both of those and then come back to the east where the weather changes again? So I'm just trying to figure that part out right now.
Well, sounds like a tough life, Sean Boyd. Your first Harlem Globetrotter announcing gig in Puerto Rico, man. You better enjoy that. But we've got a lot more to talk to, and a great guy on the line now with us on the HolySmokeNuts.com phone lines, Terry Holloman from the Barbershop, Barbershop206.com. Terry, what's going on?
Not much, fellas. What's going on your way?
Man, well, you know, we're just talking about planning to make the trip to the East Coast where it's cold. Man, over here on the West Coast, nice and warm. I believe up in the Seattle area as well. Beautiful days up there in the PNW.
Yeah, you know, we've had a couple of days that have been pretty good. But you know what? We've also had a little bit of rain. You know, it's that rainy season up here. The time of the year that has us trying to get out of Seattle and down to Arizona and Southern California. So, matter of fact, I'm trying to get to Puerto Rico if somebody has room inside the suitcase.
Well, hey, Terry, I'm trying to make room right now. I'm trying to get under 50 pounds. So if I can get under 50 pounds on this luggage, hey, you're good to go.
Hey, listen, I'm dieting right now. I'm on my paleo. I'm trying to get there, man. I think I can get 55 by the weekend.
Well, you and me both, man. Got to try to slim down, especially getting ready for Puerto Rico there, man. But man, I got a question to ask you. There's some things going on in the NFL. Of course, we haven't talked in a minute, but the Super Bowl last weekend, my friend, and of course, yeah. Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos taking care of business, and everything seemed like status quo. The nice guy walks off into the sunset. And things are good. And then all of a sudden we wake up this morning or the past couple of days and there's talks about Peyton Manning and some stuff that went on 20 years ago. What do you say about that?
You know, I had a few opinions about this. And it's really unfortunate that, you know, this is what we've come to where we have to build people up to this elite level, to this, like, almost untouchable level where Peyton Manning is. Because, let's be honest, over his illustrious career, he's pretty the Teflon Don. He's been the face of the National Football League. He's Mr. Nice Guy. You've never heard about anything negative associated with Peyton Manning. Now we get to this point where there was this big controversy throughout the Super Bowl leading up to it, the Cam Newton versus Peyton Manning, this kind of tarnished image, this bad guy that Cam Newton was versus Peyton Manning. And then Peyton Manning goes out and does a spectacular job, really a pedestrian job as a quarterback, but he does a spectacular job of ending his career as a champion. Then all of a sudden these allegations pop up from 20 years ago. I'm on the opinion of why does it show up now? I mean, if this happened and it was such a tragedy, and if it did happen, all my sincere thoughts go to the victim of this crime. But if it was such a tragedy, such a travesty, why did it just now surface?
You know, that's a great question there, Terry. And you know, it's sad because we live in a society to where, you know, once somebody is built up, we look to tear them down instantly. And I'm still trying to figure out that way of thinking on why this day and age in this social realm, you know, people look to do that.
Well, you know, I have an opinion, and my opinion is probably about as worth as much as this ice and this Starbucks stuff I have here. But my opinion is, you know, we've gotten to a place where, you know, we as individuals, and I don't mean all of us, but as a society, we see people achieving things, and we want to compare rather than look at those achievements and say, hey, I'm proud of that guy or that girl for doing those things, or they really worked hard to get those things. We look at it and say, why come I'm not in that person's shoes? Why come I haven't achieved the level of success in my life that I want? And it kind of makes us uncomfortable to see other people achieve great heights and to achieve great things. And so in order for us to feel better about ourselves, we need to tear them down and make them more human, show their flaws, show that, you know, maybe they aren't as great as everybody thinks they are. They're just like the rest of us, and they're just as dirty, just as flawed, and just as ugly as the rest of us. And it's unfortunate that it has to be that way. Instead of us looking in the mirror and saying, hey, we can work harder, we can strive harder, we can do better, and maybe be more like that person. Now we want to bring them down to our level.
And Terry, you probably dealt with that growing up, excelling in sports through the college ranks, playing at the University of Washington. And why do you think that is? Is it just a mentality of woe is me, and you know, I gotta prove to myself that I'm worth something, even though I'm not nearly as great as a Peyton Manning? Yet even the other side of the field, the quarterback Cam Newton has a bad day, and he's getting chopped down as well.
Yeah, you know, I tell you like this. I mean, we're all human. We've all done it before. We've all been down at the dump, you know, because that we haven't achieved our goal, or because we haven't achieved the height that we had expected to achieve. And I think the problem is, where the difference and where the separation occurs is, the champion, you know, when he fails and when he falls short of his goal, he just keeps striving forward. He's like, okay, that's another opportunity for me to get better. I'll take that lump, I'll take that loss, and I'll come back stronger the next time. I'll put in that extra work. And I learned that at an early age, that, you know, we're all going to suffer setbacks. We're all going to suffer defeats. We're all going to suffer, you know, these negative things that happen in our lives. And, you know, we've all heard the cliche. It's not what happens to us. It's how we respond to it. And I think that's the difference. You know, you got guys like Peyton Manning that take these lumps, and they're able to come back. And unfortunately for Cam Newton, you know, he took some lumps leading up to the Super Bowl. And, you know, he was taking it on the chin. I thought he was doing a great job of dealing with all the distractions, everybody having negative things to say about him, his quarterback, his antics, his dad, you know, his asthma $1 million smile and his outrageous wardrobe and the whole deal with him being a black quarterback. You know, the whole deal with him being a black quarterback, I thought he did a great job of handling that. And it was unfortunate that he took a couple steps back during the Super Bowl with, you know, falling on the ground at the end of the game and having a little mini tantrum and then storming out the press conference. But, fortunately, he's going to have a lot of opportunities to make up for that.
And Terry, do you think that a lot of this happens with this negativity and things because it's so much easier now versus 20, 25 years ago when there people couldn't hide behind their computers, their phones, their tablets, and just blast out on social media?
100%. That's 100%. Social media is a blessing and a curse. It's a blessing because it gives us an opportunity to get up and close to the sports stars, the people that we idolize, that growing up and seeing. It gives us a chance to hear directly from them and conversate directly with them. It gives us an opportunity to be involved in the entire media process, on one hand. On the flip side, 25 years ago, when the only access you had to a Peyton Manning or Cam Newton, or for that matter, anybody in the world who cared about your opinion, was you sitting in the living room reading your Monday morning newspaper. That was it. The world didn't get to hear your opinion. The world, only people that got to hear your opinion, maybe, were the people in the cubicle beside you at your office. And they didn't give a shit damn what you had to say. You know what I'm saying? So now you have this opportunity to spread your, whatever it is, your opinion, your vitriol, this negative, whatever you want to call it, to the world. Because now it not just goes to the 150 people on your friends list. Guess what? Now those people are retweeting and reposting what you say and replying to what you say, and it kind of gains a life of its own. And now it's leading to this negative ugliness because there's really no repercussions to the things that you say. Where in the media, if you are an accredited member of the media and you go out there and you say some outlandish stuff about Cam Newton or anybody that's in a professional rank, you're going to face some repercussions by it. You may lose your job. You may be discredited. People will not take your opinion seriously anymore. And a lot of times, I think people in the media may not, if they're serious about their job, they won't do that. But if you're just an armchair quarterback, you're a guy sitting behind a keyboard, you can get his record. And it's led to a lot of the negativity that we're seeing out here in the sports world today.
Terry Holloman from the Barbershop 206.com joining us here on the Double. Now, Terry, want to shift gears just a little bit. Last night or this past weekend was an awesome weekend. And I know it's a little bittersweet when we talk about this in the Pacific Northwest, but there was the All-Star game that came about this, or All-Star weekend. And there was a lot of talk
How many Sonics did we have in that game? It was like hundreds of Sonics?
Yeah. Hey, there was actually 1.5. We'll say 1.5 when you count Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant. So, I'd probably say 1.5 Sonics were in there. So stay informed on that one. But the slam dunk contest, man. I mean, it looked like it was back alive and kicking for the first time in a long time. We can accredit that, part of that to Pacific Northwest Bothell High School. It's Zach LaVine of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Man, what'd you think of the slam dunk contest?
Hey, listen, I had to watch it on replay because I was in my daughter's fifth grade basketball tournament gym this weekend watching fifth grade girls go at it. There was not that many slam dunks, one or two. But I got a chance to watch, the highlights of the dunk contest, and it was unbelievable. The things that you're watching some of these young men do are unbelievable. For anyone that thought that the dunk contest was over and done and they should get rid of it and it hasn't been the same since the days of MJ and Dominique, well, let me tell you, these guys have definitely come back and put their brand new stamp on it. The dunks are, they're so ridiculous now, guys, that you have to kind of put them in slow motion to watch how technical these things are. And I'm trying to do these dunks in my head, because I'm not doing it in real life. But I'm trying to do it in my head, and I'm like, okay, he jumped, and then he grabbed it out of the guy's hand, and then he turned the opposite way with the other hand and dumped it behind his back. And these guys, again, like I said, unbelievable. Zach LaVine, the pride of Bothell, Washington, definitely put this dunk thing back on the map.
Well, yeah, it was a festive weekend, especially when you're talking about the skills with the dunk contest, the 3-point contest as well, with the Splash Brothers taking care of business, meaning Steph Curry and Klay Thompson of the Golden State Warriors putting on a clinic as well.
Hey, before you even finish, I hate to go here with you guys, but this is I'm representing the barbershop. We get a little wild in the barbershop. With all these light-skinned brothers, man, taking over basketball, man. You got the Splash Brothers and and Zach Levine, I mean, all three of them together wouldn't be dark as a paper bag. But they're killing the NBA right now. I'm a little jealous. I'm Wesley Snipes shade, bro. I'm not light skinned. I can't jump, and I have no hair.
Well, I have to tell you, that is barbershop material. That is definitely barbershop material, what you're talking there. And it does go noticed.
All jokes aside, those guys, Smash Brothers, I really don't know that I've ever seen a more prolific shooting duo on the same team in the National Basketball Association. Have you guys ever seen anything like that before? I have not.
No, I've never seen anything like what they do. And, of course, Steph is taking the limelight being the MVP of the league. But when you have Klay Thompson that can just prolifically come out there and shoot the lights out, I believe he has a better jump shot than Steph. It's just Steph is more consistent. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, and again, go back to it again. Klay Matthews also has ties to the Pacific Northwest. He is a Washington State Cougar.
I know that was tough for you to say.
It was tough, you know, but I've been dealing with it. I've been going to counseling. I'm dealing with Marcus Trufant, my partner on the barbershop. He's been helping me through this. He is probably the most decorated Washington State Cougar that there is, and I deal with him daily. So he's been walking me through this. I'm going to counseling. I'm starting to give Cougars a little bit more love, but they keep putting out guys like Klay Thompson. It makes it a little easier.
Terry Holloman joining us from Barbershop206.com. Terry, you and your co-host Marcus Trufant had a fun event back on the 10th, the MTR Western Seattle Sports Star of the Year Awards, and you and Marcus had a chance to host an award, to present an award, and it was for the Male Athlete of the Year.
Yes. Again, very honored to do that. I've been able to do some things while I'm with the barbershop that have been very, I never thought I would ever be able to do. One of them was walk off top of the Space Needle with Marcus and hanging 12-man flag. Right along the line with that, up in that same echelon would be presenting this award to the Male Sports Star of the Year, the Seattle Sports Star, which was Michael Bennett, a very deserving winner of that award. He did some incredible things on the field this year with the Seattle Seahawks. He's one of the most prolific pass rushers in the game. He's also very good at stopping the run. And it was just a star-studded event that we got to be involved with, and presenting that award to him was a major milestone in my career.
And what was that like being around all of those Seattle greats, from media people like yourselves, guys that met the guy that won the great award, Kevin Calabro, all of the current and former players, and just to be able to rub elbows with everybody. I know you've been around a lot of them, but to be at that event and to give out that award to Michael Bennett had to be quite an awesome feeling.
Yeah, like I said, it was one of the biggest honors in my professional life that I've ever had. It was also very humbling. Again, when you're sitting down there and you're watching Kevin Calabro, one of the greatest play-by-play announcers that's ever been in the NBA or in sports, period. He's up there getting an award. You have Steve Ravel, the voice of the Seahawks, up there presenting an award as well. You have Warren Moon, who also got a Lifetime Achievement Award, who's also a great radio personality in and of itself. We had Gary Payton in the house, members of the Ackerley family. It was just a very, very humbling experience and a big, big honor. And I'm very happy to be included in this call.
Terry Holloman joining us here on the Double. Now, Terry, did you guys walk away with an award, or did you just?
I actually stole Kevin Calabro's award. That's how we do it, Bob. If they don't give you something, you're gonna pay something. I didn't come here just to hang out. I can't walk away with some hardware. So Kevin Calabro, if he's looking for his trophy, I got it. I stashed it at Marcus's house. I thought you'd never look there.
Well, you know, KC was doing some great things this past weekend. He was actually doing the radio version on Westwood One for the slam dunk contest. And, you know, it's always a pleasure to get a chance to hear KC doing his thing. You know, we've been spoiled all through the years listening to him talk about the alley-oops from Peyton to Kemp and, you know, everything Sonic since Bob Blackburn. So, yeah, man. If you were to take anybody's award, that's definitely the one to take.
We have been very, again, I think, here's the thing about people in Seattle, and I've been here for a very long time, so I'm basically a Seattle. I've been here since 1992. We have been very, very spoiled when it comes to sports and when it comes to the people who cover our sports. We have some of the best people in the business in any major city across the country. I mean, you put us in comparison to the New York City, the Los Angeleses, the Houston Texans, the Miami Floridas. You put our guys right up there, and things that we've been able to experience in this city from the Supersonics when they were here doing their thing. We had some of the greatest. We had Gary Payton, Sean Kemp. You go back to Slick Watts, Freddie Brown. You know, there are other cities in this country that have never, ever had the experience of that. You talk about what we've been able to experience with the Seattle Seahawks. These guys have gone to the Super Bowl 2 years in a row. You have teams that have never been to the Super Bowl. You have our announcers that we've been able to grow up listening to. You have the Kevin Calabro, Steve Rables. You have our guy that just passed away, the Niehaus for the Mariners. These guys are legends in the business. And like I said, we've been very spoiled in Seattle. And I'm very happy to be here and doing what I do.
And Terry, how does it feel that you can throw your name in that hat? Because you're not only a barbershop206.com, you started on the radio, 710 ESP in Seattle, and you can also be heard on Cairo FM 97.3.
Yeah, I don't know if you can throw me in that ring just yet. It'd probably be like Mike Tyson fighting Webster. When you throw me in that ring, man, I don't know. I might be dating myself with that Webster comment, but you know what I'm saying, all right? I really am. I feel honored and humbled and allowed to do what I do in this market, which is, well, you know, we're the number 12 market in the country, and it's been an incredible ride so far, and Marks and I are only looking to go bigger and better with the things we're doing. We're trying to copy you guys, man. We want to be like the SNS, baby.
Man, Terry, that's crazy, crazy talk. But, hey, anything on the horizon with barbershop206.com? Any guests coming up? I know you've got your new apparel out there on the website. What's on the horizon for barbershop206.com?
You know, we like to keep everybody in suspense because pretty much we're in suspense, too. When we find out, you'll find out. We actually have a new website. Because we don't want to be just, I mean, we want to represent Seattle. We want to represent Seattle on a more national, international basis. So we took the 206 off the field. So we are now at theofficialbarbershop.com. So all of our new shows, all of our new updates, all of our new posts can be found at theofficialbarbershop.com. It's a little bit more interactive. You can get in there and leave comments. We'll have posting funny videos. I don't know if you guys had the opportunity to see, but Marcus went down to the Pro Bowl. He went to Hawaii because his little brother, Desmond, was playing in the Pro Bowl just right before the Super Bowl. So he went out there, taped a little bit of the experience, and we posted some of that online as well. I didn't get the invite.
Yeah, you're going to have to talk to him about that. Maybe next year.
He already knows. We went to counseling together for that one.
He didn't need somebody to carry his bags or anything?
Nothing, man. He went cheap on me, man. It was we had it budgeted for T. Holla to come and carry the equipment, but somehow I didn't make the trip.
Terry Holloman, thank you so much for your time, your insight, and I stand corrected. TheOfficialBarbershop.com is where you can find everything Marcus Trufant and Terry Holloman are doing. Terry, appreciate your time, brother.
Right on. Thank you, guys, man. Talk to you soon.
All right, man.
There goes Terry Holloman in the Pacific Northwest doing great things in the Seattle sports scene.
Man, it's always good to have T. Holla on and talking sports. And, you know, just given that Pacific Northwest feel, and I know that we have lots of guests on from the Pacific Northwest, was, again, it's good to have have T-Holla on. And of course, the official barbershop.com is the new website that you can go to check out all the latest with Marcus Trufant and T-Holla. And again, thanks for that shout out, Mr. Holla. I look forward to talking to you soon. When we come back, we're going to have guest number two. I'm excited to bring in Mr. Chet Buchanan from 98.5 KLUC. You're listening to On the Double with the Double S Express.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. Along with that, I'm good for about 4 liters of soda a night. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago weighing 341 pounds, and since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. There's no excessive thirst. My knee pain went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that that went away, and I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad says it attacks belly fat. Well, let me tell you, it did. I've lost 6 inches. This product really does work.
So guys, if you'd like to experience similar results, then get Andro 400, the safe, natural, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to andro400.com. andro400.com. Guys, are you tired of being tired? Frustrated because it seems impossible to lose belly fat? If you're looking for a solution, then listen to Mark.
I had fantastic results with the Andro 400 Max. Probably lost 35 pounds. And more impressive than that was the inches I lost off of my belly and my waist. And the increased energy is fantastic. I'll be totally honest. I tried a different product and I wasn't happy with the different product. You guys are considerably cheaper than the other brand, and I can really feel the difference.
Andro 400 Max, the extra strength all-natural testosterone booster. The safe, easy, and affordable way to gain energy and lose stubborn belly fat. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Feel and look like a new man. Go to andro400.com or call 888-400-0435. 888-400-0435.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally and Sean Boy.
Standing in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. And the world's gonna know your name. Yeah. Cause you burn with the brush flame.
Yeah. Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally with Sean Boyd. And let's go back out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcome in big time guest number two tonight, one of our favorites, Chet Buchanan, host of Chet Buchanan in the Morning Zoo on KLUC 98.5 in Las Vegas. Chet, what's going on?
Dude, I'm just hanging out in Seattle trying to figure out what's happening right now. Did we just go to a break and I just kept talking? Is that what happened?
Yeah, hey, we have too much fun to all our listeners. Not only do we have fun during the show, we have fun during the breaks. And so, you know, Chet, when you're on, these guys have no clue on what goes on during the breaks, man. But glad to have you on the show.
We weren't even on yet? I just did all of my best material. I wasted it. We weren't even on the air yet? That's terrible. Wait a minute. I just used all of that great stuff. And no one was listening? This is an outrage.
Hey, you know what, Chet? There's probably a good chance that nobody is listening now.
Which is why I love you guys. Because it's basically we get to do a conference call and just get caught up. So I'm going to tell everybody what I just said a minute ago. And that is, I'm so proud of you guys. I'm so proud. And I know that it's probably been Globetrotters heavy and everybody's probably tired of hearing it. But I don't care because I want the world to know that I just think it's amazing. We all grew up watching the Globies. I wanted to be Meadowlark Lemon growing up. It broke my heart when we lost him a couple of weeks ago. And I just think it's cool that you guys, where are you at tonight? Albany, New York? I'm looking at the schedule right now. You in Albany?
Snowy Albany, New York. Yes, sir. We flew in this afternoon, and Sean Boyd will join me tomorrow.
Hopefully, Chet, by tomorrow, that snow will all wash away. I heard that it's supposed to be about 48 degrees, so I'm crossing my fingers. I don't need snow.
Well, what are you afraid of, man? It's all first class. It's the Globetrotters. No, this is great. You wanted to snow in Albany, New York. You wanted to be hot as hell when you're in New Orleans. You want to know. This is great. You're living the dream, man. The same way as right. I don't know why I've turned into Dick Vitale all of a sudden. But you wanted to be like that. I'm in Seattle right now, and it's raining, and it's 50 degrees, and it's awesome. You want it like that.
Well, you know, if Sean and I had our way, we would be in the Pacific Northwest right now. Our tour is running through Seattle as we speak. And so, man, but unfortunately we have to be on the East Coast. But, you know, that's the nature of the business.
Man, I bought a Sonics hat today and I wept just a little. I did. It made me sad. I miss the Sonics. And what's really funny is they're still going round and round about building an arena in this town, and now people are talking about, well, let's use public funds and let's make Key Arena better. There will not be, mark this down, keep it on tape. Keep it on tape. What is this, 1987? Keep it on file right now. There will not be professional sports as far as NHL or NBA in Seattle unless there is a new arena built. You cannot refurb Key Arena and bring the NBA or the NHL to Seattle. It will not happen.
Now, it's a shame that it's taking so long because it was 2008 when the Sonics were stolen from Seattle, and here we are now, 2016. Something's got to get done.
Well, yeah, and honestly, in living in Las Vegas like I do now, Las Vegas is completely just blown by Seattle. Now, the part that people that they haven't kept in mind is that they're sure that this NHL franchise is coming to Las Vegas. Las Vegas could, and it probably will, because Las Vegas has a lot more going on than what they did in Kansas City. But Kansas City is still sitting on a brand new, you know, that Sprint Center that, I mean, outside of an Elton John concert and when you guys go through later on your tour, I don't think anything is happening in the Sprint Center in Kansas City.
And it's one of the most beautiful arenas. Yeah, and it's one of the most beautiful arenas that you could ever visit.
Yeah, so just because you build it doesn't mean that they will necessarily come, but I got to believe they'll have hockey in Las Vegas, which they then hope will turn into an NBA franchise, and that'll be the one that really is successful because Vegas will go crazy for the NBA. But Seattle, they've got to decide whether they really do want to get back in the game, and I know everybody in Seattle misses the Supersonics, but they've got to make a decision. Whether, you know, and unfortunately in this day and age, and I know it's not a popular opinion, you've got to use public funds. And if you can get it from a sin tax on alcohol or cigarettes or weed or whatever you're going to do, or you can get it from the tourists, get it that way. And the people will go, oh, we should be feeding the homeless or it should go to schools. Well, you know what? If that was going to happen, that would have already happened.
Right.
Chet, why do you think the city of Las Vegas doesn't get better consideration for a hockey team, an NBA team? As you've mentioned, they're building the arena. Things are moving in that positively in that direction, yet nothing seems to actually go forward with, hey, let's give them a team. They've got the population there. It's a good market size, as you know. And everybody always points to the gambling. Well, okay, gambling is going to happen whether there's a team there or not. It doesn't matter that the team is placed in Las Vegas. You can gamble on a team from any city, anywhere.
Yeah, and you're right. And the gambling argument is an antiquated theory. If somebody's going to throw a game or there's going to be point shaving or whatever, and by the way, that's happened in a lot of places, and it's never been proven to happen in Las Vegas. They're at the top of the list for the NHL. That's probably going to, you know, I mean, and we expected the Board of Governors meeting which is coming up here in the near future, that it's going to be fine. You know, and then the NBA will follow after that. And the NBA is certainly much more open to it. And I think they want to see if sports can be supported in Las Vegas. I will say this, that the one problem that there is, and Las Vegas is close to 2 million people in the metro. There are a lot of Las Vegas, you know, born and bred Las Vegas locals. However, there haven't been professional sports teams to root for ever. So everybody's got a favorite team that's from somewhere else. And what's gonna be interesting will be to see if you'll get home crowds that will back the home teams. There are a lot of East Coast transplants. There are a lot of Midwest transplants. There are a lot, you know, I'm going to be torn. Somebody asked me, they go, you're a Seattle kid, you're a Vancouver Canucks fan, and they might have a Las Vegas hockey team. Who are you going to root for? And my answer was, it depends on what night it is, you know? So that'll be the interesting thing, will be to see where the fan base lies and where the passion will come from.
Chet Buchanan of 98.5 KLUC in Las Vegas of the Chet Buchanan and Morning Zoo Show joining us here on the Double. Now, Chet, we talked about NHL. We've talked about the NBA possibly coming to Las Vegas. But we haven't talked about the elephant in the room, which is the NFL, Mark Davis, and the Oakland Raiders rolling through Las Vegas just the past few weeks. What's the word on that? How serious can you take that? And is the NFL coming to Vegas?
You can't take that very seriously at all, I don't think. I know that it stirred up talk. UNLV has bought, 48 acres,
right,
which is kind of wedged in behind. It's kind of wedged in behind the strip on the UNLV side of the strip where there's been talk of Sheldon Adelson, who owns the Sands Casino Group, which is Venetian Palazzo and the convention space and all of that. Might be the richest guy in Vegas. There's been talk about him putting up money for a stadium, but they want public funds, and that sent everybody into a tailspin. You've got to build the stadium first. Somebody's going to have to step up and build a stadium. Oscar Goodman had the most genius idea a number of years ago, and if I could wave a magic wand and make it happen, you know what I would love to see? I'd love to see a multi-bajillion-dollar stadium, a state-of-the-art stadium, beautiful stadium, retractable roof, the whole thing, like they did in Arizona with the grass on the tray that slides in and out. And then every Monday night, schedule the Monday night games the way you're scheduling them now, every Monday night in Las Vegas. How cool would that be?
Man, that sounds like an awesome idea. You know, especially the type of field that you're talking about. That's state-of-the-art in Arizona, the way they do that and grow that grass and roll it in from the practice field. And, you know, it's a great climate down in Vegas to do it.
Have you been in that stadium? Have you been there in the big clamshell? In the big
I haven't had the chance, but, you know, from what I hear from a lot of journalists and broadcasters, they love the way that stadium is put together.
The stadium's really good, but up until a couple of years ago where they just put the other, where they finally put the other big video board in on the one end, they used to have a big video board on one end, and then on the other end was a little tiny board, and it looked like they spent all the money on making that retractable, that rollable grass field go in and out, and they didn't have enough money to finish the stadium. And it was always like, what's wrong with this half down here? That half down there is good. This half down here, why is that dude still, oh, he's putting the scoreboard up by hand. Oh, okay. That's good. No, I mean, it was really weird. But yeah, all in all, let's say the University of Phoenix Stadium is really great. So if you plop something down like that in Las Vegas and then throw them into the rotation for Super Bowls, which, by the way, you can have a Super Bowl in LA or in New York. You can have a Super Bowl in Seattle. Thank you very much. Put Las Vegas in the Super Bowl rotation and then have Monday Night Football there. Maybe not every Monday night, but every third Monday night or something like that. It'd be great.
Now, Chad, what was your take on the Super Bowl, the Peyton Manning-Cam Newton battle?
Well, I'm not trying to be that guy, but I called that. I knew that. I had a feeling. I'm not trying to be that guy, but I really I thought Denver's defense would shut down Cam Newton, and they did. People can say whatever they want about Cam Newton walking out of the press conference at the end of the game. But, you know, last year Russell Wilson throws a pick and costs his team the Super Bowl. He stood there and faced the fire. 2 years before that, Peyton Manning, that was supposed to be his coronation 2 years ago. And Peyton Manning got blown out 43-8. And he stood there and faced the fire. So, Cam, if you're going to be the man, if you're going to be the MVP, if you're going to be the guy that's going to be the face of the league, if you're going to be Superman, you know what, Superman? You got to take a couple of bullets to the chest and let them bounce off because you're the Man of Steel. You can't walk out. You can't walk out.
Chet, how wide open is the NFL right now? You've got, obviously, the champions, the Broncos, with a fantastic defense, but you rank any of the top 7 to 10 teams, you can make an argument for any one of those teams being in the Super Bowl this next season.
No, I'm terribly biased. There's only one team. That's the one that wears the blue and green. That's the Super Bowl, the 2017 Super Bowl champion, Seattle Seahawks. The winners of the big XL, man. That's going to be, is it XL? No, what is it now? Oh, no, the LI. That's what it is, the big LI. That's the, we lost XL already.
let's not go back there.
That hurt my heart. I think, you know, the Hawks will be there. Denver will be back with or without Peyton Manning. You know, the Patriots, you can never count out the Patriots. Carolina's going to – you know what's funny? I see all these things, and it always says Seahawks, Patriots, Denver, and then it never talks about Carolina going back. Carolina will be in the hunt. Arizona's going to be a good team. Why are you shaking your head? My best buddy who thinks he knows everything about football is shaking his head. Hang on a second. I'll put him on speakerphone. Tell the world why, or our seven listeners, tell them why Carolina won't be back.
Because Carolina –
no one cares what you think. Carolina will be back in there. You're an idiot.
Awesome. Chet Buchanan putting it down like he always does. And from the 206 in the PNW, man. You know, I do believe that Seattle is going to be a force to be reckoned with next year. What do they do? I know that they already have a stable of running backs with Marshawn Lynch retiring. But what do they do next year? What are some of the holes that they need to fill in order to get back to the Holy Grail?
Yeah, you know what? You need another running back. Rawls appears to be ready, but will he still be as hungry if he's the man? People are talking about DeMarco Murray as a free agent pickup, and I think that's scary. Although, I will say this. If, in fact, DeMarco Murray is a locker room cancer, Pete Carroll cures cancer, you know? So,
right.
But I don't know if they're going to spend that kind of money on a DeMarco Murray, and you know, yeah, you'd like to see the pass rush get healthy again. Here's the thing: when the Seahawks had the back-to-back years of the Super Bowl, then you see them just get kind of picked away at for some of the character guys like Chris Clemens and Red Bryant, and even some and go down to some of the special teams guys, Maragos, O'Brien Schofield, some of those guys who went and signed bigger deals, Byron Maxwell, that went to other teams and signed bigger deals. And it wasn't that any one guy you went, oh, man, that sucks that we lost that guy. I mean, you did, but it was like, oh, we're not going to be any good. No, it was that the sum of all those parts, I think, you know, made the defense, well, obviously we saw it, made the defense at times a little porous. So you want to get everybody back healthy and, you know, and maybe find some depth on defense and see if you can't get back to the dance.
You know, I'm thinking that defense is the way to go as well because, of course, defense wins championships, and we're seeing that outside of yourself. Nobody saw the Denver Broncos defense and Denver, of course, seeing the Denver Broncos defense shutting down Carolina like that. But going back to the offensive side of the ball for the Seahawks, Matt Forte is also available. I mean, now out of the two, you mentioned DeMarco Murray as running back.
Okay.
Matt Forte would be a great addition in the backfield for the Seattle Seahawks, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, and obviously Seattle needs some linemen, but that's been the case for a long time. But I think Forte is Forte's the call over DeMarco Murray. I think that's a great idea. And you've got depth, and also if you got a guy in Forte, maybe that re-energizes him a little bit.
still gives Rawls somebody to you know, to kind of compete against. Yeah, I think that's a great idea.
Chet Buchanan joining us from 98.5 KLUC. Chet Buchanan in the morning, Yazoo in Las Vegas. Now, Chet, you've done a lot of hosting. You've done public address announcing. What would your advice be for Sean Boyd as he embarks on public address announcing for the Harlem Globetrotters?
Yes.
Don't be too entertaining, man. Don't be too entertaining. No, I'm just kidding. But have fun. Study, you know how to do it. Same way you do the show. Yeah. Prep your ass off and, you know, study hard and then go in and crush it. You're going to be great. Again, I'm so proud of you guys. It's and there's a part of me that's so jealous. I wish I was there with you. We'd have a lot of fun. We'd be scary on the road, man. Together.
Yeah, we would have a lot of fun. Hey, Chet, you know, and I'm sure that you've gone to a Harlem Globetrotters event or two. Being the PA announcer for the Globetrotters is a little different than your everyday PA announcing, so they kind of make you a part of the show. So I might have to show a little bit of my character, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah. No, get after it. Here's the thing. What do you have to lose? It's a once-in-a-lifetime shot. You're gonna walk away from this and go, well, gosh, I wish there's something I would have done different. No, just get out there and let it rip. Study, and prep hard so that the game's easy.
Now, Chet, if you don't want to touch on this, I know you'll let me know, but the city of Seattle, a lot of your old former coworkers and companies you used to work for have made some major changes in the radio world in Seattle. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, it was a sad day when Cube 93 went away, but I'll tell you, Cube 93 died a number of years ago. Probably when T-Man left, that was a big change for the radio station. And it just, the one thing in the business as a whole, and the stations that still succeed are the ones that really do get involved with their communities, and the ones that really are representative of their community. And Cube, that station had a lot of heart, and that was it was the only place I ever wanted to be when I was growing up. I mean, if I could have gone back in time when I was a little kid, I always loved KJR, and then I loved Cube, and that's all I ever wanted to do. I would have stayed there my whole life, But I'm KLUC in Las Vegas has that where that's a Las Vegas radio station. The problem is that company kind of dumbs it down a little bit and kind of cookie cutters what they do, and so you can't just plug in all the same records that everybody else is playing, and then a bunch of people that have never even, been to Seattle before and think you're going to win. It just doesn't work that way. So it's just sad. And I just thank God that there's still opportunities out there for people to be entertaining and have fun and be involved in their community. But there needs to be more of that. And, the business will come back around. Everything is cyclical. It was a sad day. And honestly, though, it was really, really nice, all the people that reached out, because that was a long time ago for me. And the fact that anybody would even remember that I was even there and even just a small part of that great radio station, it was really cool.
You know, Chet, the biggest thing is, as you're mentioning, is the identity that Cube 93 forgot to create. And I know that there's another station that's going to be coming about it if it hasn't come out already. You know, the thing that they're lacking is playing local artists. And you have a lot of local talent in the Pacific Northwest, a lot of rappers, a lot of hip-hop artists that are waiting to get their chance. And I think if this new station comes out and they do just that, they're going to, create that identity that you're saying when people come to the Pacific Northwest, they know what it's exactly about.
There's a place for that, but I guess if you're talking about preparing a meal, that's maybe the seasoning, maybe that's a little bit of the dessert. I don't think that's the main course. We did do some of that at Cube, but it wasn't what we were based on. I think it goes over a lot of people's heads. But I mean, just being involved and being, where people know that that you're from there. I mean, it was just the coolest thing ever when we do the weather, on Cube, and it was, from the shores of Lake Washington, it's 52 degrees. from the shores of Lake Washington. That's cool.
Yeah.
And it's a little thing, and it might even be, you know, kind of a corny thing, whatever. But everybody knew it. Everybody knew what we were talking about. You know, Cube now, and I don't know if they're good or bad or indifferent or whatever, but a couple of people that came out of a really big show, they were secondary players on a show in New York, and they're getting their first shot at a morning show after doing some podcasting, and they're doing their first morning show ever in the 14th biggest market in America. And that's kind of crazy, man. But we'll see how it works out. Good, you know, good luck to them and God bless, I always say.
Well, Chet, we know you're in the Pacific Northwest, and you mentioned you were with a good friend of yours, and I'm going to take a shot in the dark here. Might that be the world-famous Randy Rowland?
No, it's not Randy Rowland. I would have let him talk. I would have let him talk because he actually knows what he's talking about with football. This clown here, my buddy John, don't you flip me off on the radio. Somebody will see that. We've been friends since we were 13 years old. And, yeah, obviously he doesn't know anything about football, and he has terrible taste in friends. So, yeah, it's good times.
Well, thanks so much for taking time away from him. Maybe you can, go have a nice beverage with him and make it up.
You mean having another one? Because didn't we say we were drinking during the show?
Yeah. Unfortunately, always.
For me, I don't know what's going on in Sacramento, but tea and water here in New York.
Well, you know, hey, I'm having one for you, Sean.
Chet Buchanan, host of Chet Buchanan and the Morning Zoo, 98.5 KLUC in Las Vegas.
Well, I love you guys.
Thank you, man.
Thanks.
You can follow Chet at Chet Buchanan.
Yeah, you know what? And seriously, thank you for having me on. I would come on every single time if you would let me. And I'm really proud of you guys. Travel safe.
Man, thanks a lot again, Chet. And we appreciate having you on.
Anytime.
Thanks for the support, Chet Buchanan. And be careful what you wish for.
Oh man, it's awesome! It's so awesome to have Chet on, you know. And as he's on, you know, the text messages and everything just keep rolling in. They're like, man, it's good to have Chet on. We got to have him on more often, Sean Wally.
Well, he claims that's what he would like to do. So who knows? Maybe we'll do a monthly or something, a monthly special with Chet Buchanan, because he's awesome. He's got great insight. He's funny. He's done everything from TV, radio, public address, hosting. He's doing great things in the world of broadcasting for sure.
Man, definitely some cool stuff going on, and took his time out to talk to us here on the Double. That goes to show you, all of our listeners there, how great it is to be on the Double and have some good, cool people such as Chet Buchanan on, man.
Now, Sean, not only in the past few weeks have you had your chance to attend a Globetrotter game, the next day you got your Globetrotter public address announcer audition, then you went for a little bit of quick training and soaking up like a sponge whatever you could from a different tour that I am not a part of. Then all of a sudden you turn back to network television and you got to work not one but 2 weeks at the Super Bowl.
Man, you want to talk about being tired, man. And this is probably the greatest tired that you could ever have. And I'm so grateful for the Harlem Globetrotters organization for being understanding and saying, hey, man, you know, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to work the Super Bowl, and which I had the chance to work, Sean, for CBS. And, you know, what I did was I laid a lot of the groundwork, a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff as far as the making sure that the cable was put in place all around the stadium. And so, you know, doing that, making sure cameras were in place, you know, the things that people really don't think about as they click on the TV. It's just the magic of having the game on when you turn on the TV. But there's a lot of hard work put in place, and I got the opportunity to experience that. Now, most of the time, Sean, when I do behind the scenes stuff with the major networks, it's in productions. And so, you know, if you ask me, you know, that's game day stuff. And, you know, I'm thinking, man, you know, game day, you should get paid more than you would for or preparing and putting together the game. But I learned different the past couple of weeks, man, because utility work is tough. It is very tough, and you have to know what in the world you're doing, because one false slip could mean that game doesn't air, and so you have to make sure that you're knowing what you're doing. Had an awesome group and awesome staff, and it was a great experience.
And nice to see that a few of our Pacific Northwest friendly coworkers' faces were down there to work with you at Buttonfly Stadium in Santa Clara.
Yeah, you know, you had mentioned that, you know, a couple of friends were going to be down there and talk with, got a chance to meet with Earl, one of your boys there. And, you know, what a great gentleman. And, you know, his role as far as putting together the, you know, the sets and everything go way beyond. He's so knowledgeable as far as what he does. And, you know, so good to get a chance to meet him. And, of course, your friend and mine, Tom Fitzgerald, who worked for the Pac-12 Network, got a chance to meet up with him. He and I worked together at the U.S. Open up in Tacoma at Chambers Bay, so we got a chance to get together when I could, because, man, you're talking about long work days, 6 in the morning to, like, 7 at night, you know, so when I was every night, you know, face down, you know, in the bed, you know, but took the time out to meet with Tom at the stadium, and you know, those were good times, man. Good times to get a chance to be around some Pacific Northwest people.
And outside of the coworkers, who were some of the media members or maybe former players that you got to meet that you're still a little bit in awe of?
Man, you know, there are so many people. You know, one of the ones that I just thought was, you know, the greatest guy that on television and behind the scenes is CBS broadcaster Brandon Marshall. And, you know, what a sincere gentleman. I know that, you know, years prior he had some tough times, you know, battling. I can't remember. I think he had a bipolar disorder. Is that what it was, Sean? But nonetheless, man, I mean, this guy is top notch as far as, you know, just reaching out and talking. He came over and, you know, we talked about football. We talked about, you know, his college life and everything, and you know, what a great guy. And so, you know, got a chance to meet a whole bunch of people. Ian Eagle sat and talked with him, and you know, he and I did mock scripting, if you will. So basically preparing for the show, and you know, he thought that went pretty well, and I thought it went pretty well also, Sean. I think, man, that's probably one of the things that we should shoot for is definitely doing broadcasting.
Well, that's part of the reason for this show, I would assume.
No, definitely, man. And so I had a lot of fun, and you know, I'd probably say the biggest takeaway that I had, and this is probably interesting for you, but you know, working hard those 2 weeks and getting a chance to be at the Super Bowl, work the Super Bowl, see all the fanfare around, the biggest takeaway and joy that I had was that some of the staff members that worked over in Super Bowl City actually came over to the stadium to work for the next few days up to the Super Bowl, and they had nothing but awesome things to say about one Devon Boyd. And, you know, for those of our listeners who don't know, the man Devon Boyd is my son, and he was over there working himself to the bone, Sean Wally, so much to where these people were coming back, coworkers were coming back and saying, man, this kid is knocking it out of the park, and no wonder. And so, you know, I walked away thinking, man, this is great to keep it in the family for one, and, you know, have the chance to experience the Super Bowl folklore in Northern California. And it was a great, great 2 weeks, man.
Yeah, so many different networks down there, so many opportunities to work, and I got to tell you, I'm still a little ticked that I wasn't there with you. I know you guys had the opportunity for me, and the networks would have welcomed me, but, you know, on tour with the Globetrotters, and I stuck with that, so hopefully there'll be another Super Bowl I can get to down the road.
Man, I got so many, you know, facts and figures about the Harlem Globetrotters. As a matter of fact, when people started to hear that I was a Harlem Globetrotter working on the staff, you know, they were pulling out Sweet Georgia Brown on their phones and playing it. And every time I came around, they would form the magic circle and we'd be having all kinds of fun and stuff. And so, you know, I heard this fact, and I don't know if you know this, Sean. I didn't know it until one of my coworkers explained it to me. Super Bowl I. When Super Bowl I came about, and I believe this was in 1961, correct me if I'm wrong, but the ratings weren't the highest ratings as far as watching a sports event that day. The highest rating was the Harlem Globetrotters Washington Generals game, because I guess that was the bigger ticket at the time of Super Bowl I. Can you believe that?
I think I've heard of both of those teams, the Globetrotters and the Generals. Yeah, I think they're pretty popular.
Yeah. So, you know, that way, somebody had told me that fact, and I said, wow, the Harlem Globetrotters were a bigger ticket on television than the Super Bowl, and than Super Bowl I. So that's amazing, man. So, you know, interesting fact in case you did not know.
One question for you.
What's that?
Are you ready? And no, I'm not doing that in a Jared Lewis or Harrison Wood voice to start our show off.
Man,
are you ready to be the public address announcer for the Harlem Globetrotters?
Sean Wally, I was born ready. You know, this is one of those things, you know, and I've been lamenting and you know, I've had so many of our listeners and friends that have contacted me, whether it's via Facebook or via texting or calling. For those of our listeners who don't know, this is the 1 year anniversary of my dad passing, and so it's a bittersweet day. And all I can think about is, you know, how much my dad really loved the Harlem Globetrotters. It's just one of those things. He, you know, of course he loved his used to be his Raiders, but then became a Seahawks and Sonics and all Pacific Northwest sports. But one of the things that he loved was the Harlem Globetrotters. And I'll never forget the time that he got a chance to meet on the double guest Sterling Forbes. And he was just elated that, you know, at the chance of that. As a matter of fact, we still have that picture. My mom still has that picture on one of her mantles in, you know, at her house in Lakewood, Washington. And you know, it has it's an autographed picture of Sterling Forbes. And so, you know, when you ask, am I ready? And I explain to you that I was born ready. Man, that is an understatement. It is a true understatement, because, you know, only if my dad were alive to see this. And, you know, I'm ready to knock it out of the park, man. We're going to have some fun, Sean. That's all I can tell you.
Well, you say your dad loved the Harlem Globetrotters. Your dad loved and does love you, Pat, the entire family, and he will be watching. He may not physically be in the building, but we know Mr. Boyd will be watching and smiling from the heavens on what you're embarking on, and it's going to be an amazing ride for you, man. I'm glad we got you that audition and you knocked it out of the park. And hey, we're going to Lake Placid on Wednesday, and it's going to be fun.
Yeah, man, you're not quite old enough to actually experience Lake Placid. I was, man. I think I was about 10 years old when that was going on, 1980 Olympics in Lake Placid. And so, you know, that was another Al Michaels gem that he had the call on the U.S. Olympic hockey team. And so, man, that's going to be a lot of fun, Sean, to get around and see that history and, you know, get to take cool pictures and all that cool stuff.
Sean, I was alive for that Olympics. I may not recall it, but I was alive.
Oh man, you know, that was a fun, that was probably one of the first experiences that I had as a young kid in school to where the whole country rallied behind and felt that united feeling. You know, when those things were going on, you know, the 1980 Olympics, when the U.S. Olympic men's team won, and when Eric Heiden was doing his thing as a speed skater, man, I think he won 4 golds at that time. And, you know, it was just a lot of fun, you know, and getting a chance to go to Lake Placid is going to be memorable.
Well, Sean, we don't know exactly when we'll have another show. We'll have to see if and when our schedules allow us. Everything's picking up definitely for you with your Globetrotter tour in about 2 weeks, and you'll be with us until then. So we'll have to see when we can get together, have the stars align, and have another live on the double. But hey, man, in two and a half weeks, you will be in Puerto Rico.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking forward to that. And for all of our listeners, don't fret. You know, and I know that you've been sending information, sending texts in on what's going on. But our engineer, Don Newsom, has been doing an awesome job. We have some great big time guests that have been on. And then Don's doing an excellent job of replaying those. You can go to bbsradio.com/DSX. Click on the archives for all of those shows, or you can tune in Mondays, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, to listen to the replay of those shows, Sean Wally. Man, this has been a great show, man. My heart's beating fast. In a few hours, I'll be jumping on the plane and touching down in Albany, New York, to join you, Jared Lewis, and the rest of the Harlem Globetrotters. Man, I'm pumped about it, Sean.
And don't fret, man. The hotel has a shuttle that will come fetch you when you land in Albany.
You know, I've been getting those emails and everything. I've been seeing taxi. I'm like, taxi? What? No, not New York, man. The rates are crazy. There's no way in the world. They'll take my whole check. So, yeah, I'm glad. I'm glad to know that there's a shuttle. I will be calling that shuttle to come and pick me up from the airport.
Oh, high taxi rates. I think I know a little something about that. I'd love to ask Jared Lewis all about that. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's nothing
a story
like
story for another day.
Nothing like the infamous wrong turn in New York, man. There's no way in the world that that's going to happen to me. Well, man, Sean.
We have to send a big thank you to Terry Holloman and Chet Buchanan, our big-time guest tonight. And, man, all I can say is, Sean, have a great time with the Harlem Globetrotters, and you're going to have a great time with us because that's what we do, and we get to groom you for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, so, man, you know, I'm going to spend the rest of this night with my family and love on them and hug them and everything and enjoy that and then look forward to creating some great memories and making a difference with the Harlem Globetrotters. Man, you can go to harlemglobetrotters.com/experience to find out when the Harlem Globetrotters are coming to your area. But as I was saying before, if you want to listen to our show, that show airs Mondays at 7 p.m., or you can go to bbsradio.com/DSX to catch all of the archives as well. Man, it's been great. I'm getting ready to get on this plane. 2 special guests, Terry Holloman and Chet Buchanan. You've been listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. And like we always say, you're not in the game unless you take that shot. And when you take that shot, we hope that it hits nothing but the bottom of the net. This has been a DSX LLC production. For Sean Wally in Albany, New York, yours truly in Sacramento, California, in the EG Studios, Don Newsom in Paradise, California, you have been listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for great sports talk and big-time guests. On the Double with the Double S Express.